20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. A lot of times I start us off by saying, make sure to like, follow, subscribe, all that sort of stuff. I'm not going to do that today, but I do want to take a very quick second to start off by saying thank you, because earlier this week we celebrated our 7-year anniversary here at Pack-A-Day. You may know that on the YouTube side, which started well after the audio side of the podcast, we have missed one episode. Did not get my Z-Biotics in on that given day. And it was a rough Sunday, to say the least, and did not get a episode in on the YouTube side. But in the entirety of the 7 years that we have been running, we have not missed a single solitary day on the Pack-A-Day podcast. I want to start by thanking the entire team that has made this work from day one. Unbelievable people, Packers nerds. We started with a vision of this thing of just wanting an ability to talk Packers every single day of the year. And some people have come, some people have gone, which is sort of the expectation of what was going to happen with this. Some people have gone on to bigger and better things, which is amazing. I just cannot thank everyone that's ever been a part of this as a podcaster, a guest, on the YouTube side, on the audio side, Tyler Herrick with marketing and thumbnails and all that stuff. Just all of it. I cannot thank everyone enough. I never could have possibly imagined that this random idea to start a Packers podcast that would be a daily Packers podcast would ever evolve into what this is today. And I would love to tell you, if it weren't for you guys as the listeners, we wouldn't be doing this. That's not actually true. When we started off, we didn't have a following, a listenership, and certainly no viewership. We didn't even have a video when we kicked this thing off. So we were just, again, passionate about talking Packers every single day. Of course, we are overjoyed that you guys are along for the ride. And the truth, of course, is that we would not be here today doing everything that we're doing without you. And certainly, I would not have the ability to do this as a full-time gig. So I am forever indebted to all of you for making this what it is. And I just want to say thank you to all the team members and all the listeners, the viewers, and all of you guys for making Pack-A-Day what it is today. It sincerely means the world to me, and thank you so freaking much. All right, of course, today we're going to be talking about Friday's day 3 of Packers training camp. We did have one piece of sort of news and notes that took place later on Friday. The Packers did claim a player off of waivers. It's a really interesting player as well. They claimed running back Israel Abanaconda, who was a draft pick by the New York Jets just a couple years ago in 2023. This was a player that I loved coming out of the draft. And I legitimately thought Green Bay was going to be all over the drafting of Izzy Abanaconda because he hit a lot of the things that they really like. He was 20 years old at the time when he was drafted, was a 9.61 relative athletic score guy. And you watched him in college. He's explosive. He ran behind his pads. He was physical. And you're like, he's doing this at age 20. He had a phenomenal, really season, but even before that at Pitt. And this was, again, a player coming out of college where I'm like, some team's going to get an absolute steal with Israel Abanaconda. The truth is, it did not work in New York. They released him last year. San Francisco claimed him. And it seems like every running back in San Francisco gets a chance and they just turn out amazing. Heck, even Patrick Taylor was getting reps with San Fran and looked good. The former Green Bay Packer. That's no disrespect to Patrick Taylor. I really liked him in his time in Green Bay. But Israel Abanaconda never really got that opportunity. And now before preseason even starts, the 49ers release him. He is still 22 years old. There are multiple running backs in this draft that were 24 years old. So he is still an incredibly young running back, immensely talented, but it has not clicked for him or even remotely come close to clicking for him either in New York or in San Francisco. But this is sort of one of those classic Green Bay pickups where you're getting a super talented player, incredible athlete, speed, power, everything that you look for at the position, but somebody that just hasn't found their niche in the league yet. We're seeing somebody like Isaiah Simmons have some success in Green Bay right now in a very similar sort of vein. Different in ages and how much time they got in the NFL. And, you know, Simmons actually got out there for legitimate snaps more than Abanaconda has. But this is a very talented football player that Green Bay is going to bring in. Abanaconda finds himself in a really tough position trying to crack any sort of 53 at running back in Green Bay. You have multiple running backs that are, you know, likely to have a real chance to make the team, and Jacobs, Lloyd, Emmanuel Wilson, and Chris Brooks. But you have Amar Johnson, who's a little bit injured right now. And, you know, you have an opportunity to get some carries in preseason, put some tape out there. And I do think that there is certainly going to be a practice squad spot available for a running back. And Israel Abanaconda has every right to go out and earn that spot. So we'll see if he can make anything out of it. But again, player I loved coming out of college has not carried that over into the NFL, but still very young, very talented, and Green Bay is going to give him a shot. They also hosted Braylon Sanders, a wide receiver, and Zy Alexander, a corner, in for visits. No signings as of yet for either of those two. But even after the Abanaconda signing, they do still have one spot available on their roster. So if they wanted to sign Sanders or Alexander or any other player, they still have the ability to do so at this point in time. All right, let's get to day three of practice. We started off by learning that there are a couple new injuries. And I talked yesterday about Aaron Banks and that I thought, you know, there was something that seemed off with Aaron Banks. It was interesting because it legitimately looked like he was limping. Now he has a back injury. Now with a back, and you know, you can kind of have a little bit of like maybe a lumber, if you will. And so maybe that was what was happening there. But either way, he does have a back injury. He is day to day. Sounds like for the most part, they cleared him of anything serious. There's not any major concern. Hopefully he's back sooner rather than later. It's great news to find out that it's not anything significant. Although with back injuries, they can be a little bit finicky. So hopefully this is not something that lingers for him. But it sounds like overall good news for Aaron Banks and that he should be out there before too long. Meanwhile, Savion Williams was also added to the injury list with a concussion. So, the good news here for Savion Williams is he was out there at practice, outside and watching by the end of practice today. So remember, like if you're in a serious concussion protocol, you're you know, just either at home, dark room, like you're not allowed anywhere near any of this stuff. The fact that he was out there already in observing practice and, you know, just kind of out there with the guys is hopefully, fingers crossed, a good sign that this is not any sort of significant concussion whatsoever. I mean, any concussion is significant to some extent, right? But that this is not something that's going to keep him out long-term moving forward. That left your injured list or players that weren't practicing with Aaron Banks, Savion Williams, Quay Walker, Christian Watson, Colin Oliver, Amar Johnson, John Williams, and Elton Jenkins. The new kicker still not there. He is currently, by reports, Pete Doherty had mentioned this, that he is working through some visa issues to try to get cleared to come over and kick for Green Bay. It was a jam-packed practice on Friday, in large part due to, probably a Friday has a little bit to do with it instead of a Wednesday or Thursday, but in large part due to the shareholders meeting. So a lot busier out there, incredible crowd, completely packed in the stands and then on both, sort of end zones, if you will. Overall, it was a really cool and fun atmosphere. Will probably be the most highly attended practice of training camp this year, if I had to guess, unless maybe one of those joint practices, either in Indy or in Green Bay against Seattle, maybe can rival it a little bit. But it was a very spirited and fun crowd out there to, you know, kind of just enjoy practice. And then, of course, take in the day and eventually go to the shareholders meeting a little bit after that. Your starting offensive line for the day was Rashid Walker, Jordan Morgan at left guard with Aaron Banks out, Sean Ryan at center, Jacob Monk at right guard, and then Zach Tom at right tackle. Some of you, I know, are already thinking, what about Anthony Belton? Why is Anthony Belton not getting out there? Why is he not there instead of Jacob Monk? Well, the first thing I'll tell you is, hey, he's still a second round, but he's still a rookie. He's still kind of getting his feet underneath him. And I like the fact that Green Bay is taking their time with him and not trying to push anything too fast. The second thing I'll say is they've used him as a tackle. He has been a tackle. There is a lot of thought and prognostication that he will eventually maybe be a guard. That's thought, conjecture. That has not been, you know, sort of practiced by Green Bay as of yet. If you remember back to last year in 2024 with Jordan Morgan, they put a ton on his plate really early. Even going back to OTAs and minicamps, he was at left tackle, left guard, right tackle, trying to, and it just felt like it was a little bit overwhelming. I actually love the fact that with Anthony Belton, they're keeping him at tackle right now. Now, if Rashid Walker or Zach Tom were out, could we maybe see a little bit more Anthony Belton at that spot? Maybe. Maybe that would get him some opportunity there. But for now, they're taking it slowly. They're not trying to put too much on his plate. So I think that's probably why you're not seeing him get that opportunity at guard at the moment and allowing somebody like Jacob Monk to get that opportunity. Should be worth noting that Sean Ryan and Jacob Monk did swap from time to time. So you would see Monk at center and Sean Ryan at guard. So that did take place. We also did see Jordan Morgan on the day, get some actual time at left tackle, even though he was spending some time at guard as well. Your starters and team activity: Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave, Dontavian Wicks and Romeo Doubs. And then of course, like we just said, Walker, Morgan, Ryan, Monk and Zach Tom. Defensive front, or just defense in general, is pretty common and status quo at this point. Gary Wyatt, Clark, LVN along the defensive line, Cooper, McDuffie, Simmons at linebacker, Hobbs and Nixon at corner, and Williams and McKinney at safety. One thing we did catch is the number two cornerback group, which was Kamal Haddon and Bo Melton on the outside with Kalen King on the inside. Micah Robinson was with the threes. Let's start with the play of the day from an actual play and kind of practice standpoint. Play of the day, 2-minute drill. The number one offense got a second opportunity. Not exactly sure why. They struggled in the first one. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But they had an opportunity. They were around right at midfield. Some people said it was at the 49-yard line. To me, it looked like the 50. Doesn't matter either way. But Jordan Love went back to pass. Dontavian Wicks found his way open, screamed past the corner, and then kind of figured out a way to get free from the safeties and caught a deep post from Jordan Love for a 50-yard touchdown reception. Beautiful throw by Jordan Love. Beautiful catch by Dontavian Wicks. That was your play of the day. And that was really the first really big play that the offense has kind of hit on. And just kind of one of those big wins, especially in a 2-minute drill, to get that touchdown in that situation. So big play for Wicks, big play for Jordan Love. Thought Jordan Love had a really nice day. We'll talk about that in just a minute as well. But for me, clearly the play of the day was that bomb from Jordan Love to Dontavian Wicks. Player of the day has to be Brandon McManus. On his birthday, he made everything. He is now 15 of 15 in training camp so far, making kicks of 33, 33, 38, 40, 41, 41, 43, 44, 46, 46, 46, 48, 51, 51, and 56, including making three kicks of over 50 yards on Friday. He is a bona fide stud at kicker. What an unbelievable juxtaposition from last year to this year, where you had multiple kickers in camp. None of them left you excited at all. You were always nervous, always worried, didn't know what was going to happen. That carried over into preseason. Then you got Braden Narveson in the start of the year. And just it was such a painful process with no good results until Brandon McManus came available. Goody picked him up. He was fantastic last year. I know he missed the kick in the playoffs, but he was, again, 15 of 15 so far in training camp. What I'll add to is I talked to Marcus Eversole along the sidelines about this. Man, you just see the ball explode off of his foot. He is so clean and crisp. And when he kicks the ball, it looks like it's going to go like 10 yards. It looks like he's barely putting effort into it. It's like, did you even try to kick that football? Because it looked like, it was almost, looked like the ball would maybe travel 10 to 15 yards. But he just goes up there and kicks it clean. And it's all I'm not a special teams kicker guru, but the mechanics all look so crisp and that ball just explodes off of his foot. And when I was talking to Marcus, what I mentioned to him is it feels like the younger kickers, the less experienced kickers, they're going out there trying to crush that football or guide it in, or you can just tell they're almost trying so much and there's just too much going on. And, maybe trying to overkick it, whatever. I saw this with Crosby back in the day as well, and you're seeing it with McManus right now. When you're in the zone and you can really tell that a kicker is feeling it, they're just getting up there, planting just a nice, clean, easy swing. And that thing is just guiding right down the middle of the uprights. And that's where Brandon McManus is at right now. He's in the zone, again, starting 15 of 15 for training camp so far. We'll be right back. some players that I want to discuss. I want to start with Dontayvion Wicks. Wicks, we all know, had some drop issues, and that's probably putting it lightly, in 2024. I do think it's worth noting a couple different things. The first is that the reason that Wicks continues to get all these opportunities is because he's a tenacious blocker on the outside. He's a really good route runner. He can play all the positions. He's good after the catch. Like, he's got all the things that you look for. It's just kind of the hands, right, that's been holding him back. The other thing I'll add here, though, is that in year one, in 2023, Wicks had no real issues with his hands whatsoever. In the second half of 2024, he didn't really have any issues. I think he had a couple drops, but it wasn't anything egregious. It was really just the first half of 24 that left you really frustrated. And it's a pretty small sample size overall. He's caught almost everything that has been his way so far in training camp, and including that 50-yard bomb. And then I may have jinxed him a little bit. He did have a ball that went off his hands, but Nate Hobbs may have been early. Plus, Nate Hobbs was a little bit over-aggressive on the play, got talked to after because I was a little bit too hard of a hit in that scenario. Now, Wicks is going to get hit in the game, but he's going to expect it. There's going to be pads on. Who knows, right? And that specific throw and play, I'm willing to give Dontayvion Wicks a little bit of accident forgiveness and benefit of the doubt. Outside of that play, where again, Hobbs was maybe a little bit over-aggressive, Wicks has been off to a phenomenal start to camp, and hopefully that can carry over moving forward. Speaking of which, another player that's been off to a great start, Carrington Valentine. He had his second interception, almost came up with his third interception of training camp, starting to see the game slow down, starting to see those instincts take over. He's been fantastic out there at outside corner when given any opportunity, whether it be with the ones or the twos. He is flying to the football. He already has two interceptions through the first 3 days of camp. And again, almost had number three at the end. Today's interception, I forget who the wide receiver was, but their feet got tangled a little bit. Valentine was able to fight through it and then accelerate, pick off the ball, and just kind of win that battle, win that, that interception. And you might say, oh yeah, the receiver fell down. Hey, that's part about being physical and keeping your balance in some of those situations. So kudos to Valentine, picked it off and came up with a huge play there. On the other play, he kind of jumped a route a little bit. It was contested at the catch point, but he got his hands up there, almost came up with that third interception. The next one I want to talk about is a bit more interesting. And I sometimes, if I'm being transparent, I don't even like maybe bringing this up because people can tend to freak out in a direction that probably isn't healthy for anybody. Somebody asked me in the chat today about Jaden Reed. And I had to stop and think. I don't remember anything from Jaden Reed. So not he's been out there. I'm not saying that like I can't remember him being out there or anything like that. I can't remember a single play from Jaden Reed so far. All I'll put on this right now is that it has been an insanely quiet first 3 days of camp for Jaden Reed. This is part of the interesting situation that Green Bay finds themselves in. Is that like this stuff just kind of oddly happens when you have as many wide receivers and talented players as Green Bay has in one specific spot, is that sometimes a player just doesn't get a whole lot of opportunity. It's just happenstance. It's not that they're playing poorly or anything like that. Just, you know, bad luck of the draw, I guess, if nothing else. But the more I thought about it, the more I can't remember a single play that Jaden Reed's really come up with over the course of 3 days, which is pretty interesting. So we'll keep an eye on that. And see if he gets a little bit more opportunity for a few balls to come his way. But yeah, I have not seen much from Jaden Reed over the first few days. LVN, he had what I would consider, you know, kind of two sacks on the day. So in the number one's first 2 minute drill, he came up with a sack at the end of a drill. Now, it was a little bit of a coverage sack, and Jordan Love stepped up into the pocket. And after that point, LVN was there, met him. He got the quote unquote sack. And it was a really nice play. I mean, just it ended the drive. I'll put it that way. Good play overall. You get a sack. It's a good thing regardless of how you get it. Then there was another play later where Green Bay went play action. And on that play action, Sean Ryan pulled around and to give it that run action look, when he pulled around and then they went pass, it was Sean Ryan versus LVN one-on-one. And Ryan was no match for LVN. LVN got around him with relative ease, ducked out of the play so that he could throw it down the field. That was actually the Wicks drop, by the way, but he would have had another sack in that particular moment. So some good signs from LVN. Baron Sorrell has been off to a nice start as well. He had a sack and a half through the first 2 days. Nothing noteworthy in this particular practice. He did have one run play that I thought he did a really nice job of getting off his block. And in a real game, I think he would have had a tackle. But just in general, you're seeing a little bit of juice there. Again, sack and a half, even if one of those was partially a coverage sack, just a good solid start from Baron Sorrell. Nothing that I'm going to overhype him or anything like that, but I've liked what I've seen, and I do think he's going to be able to go out there and compete from day one. Now, whether that means as a number four, number five defensive end that gets a handful of snaps and is okay, sure, that easily could be it, but I think he's ready to be an NFL player. Clearly he is, but you know what I mean? Like actually out there and helping this team, I think sooner rather than later, but we'll see when the pads come on. Tough to say at this point in time, but just some of the little things that I've noticed from Baron Sorrell I've liked so far. Jordan Love was 12 of 17 passing on the day, including that deep bomb to Dontavian Wicks. No interceptions. Xavier McKinney did read one to Tucker Kraft on an out route and I think got his hands on it, but I don't think even Xavier McKinney had a real chance to pick that off. It was a really sweet pass breakup, but outside of that, no real interceptable balls from Jordan Love. He kept the ball out of harm's way and made some big plays as well. Did have a miss down the field to Romeo Doubs, or Romeo beat Keyshawn Nixon by about a step and a half. Jordan underthrew it. Nixon caught up to it and was able to bat it away at the end. But that's one he would like to have back. But overall, again, still pretty good day, 12 of 17 for Jordan Love. And then I'll just also say no specific player here, but the Packers secondary in general has been flying around. And I regret to inform, again, we're not crowning anyone here, but I regret to inform the cornerback haters that Valentine, Hobbs, Bullard even, and Nixon have been really, really good through the first few days of camp. Now, let's see if that can carry over. Let's see if that carries over against Detroit and Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson later in the year. Well, we'll get a better glimpse of it as time goes on. But so far, that corner group has been better than advertised. They look really good out there so far. We'll be right back. Not a specific play and not a specific player. May have talked about this the other day a little bit as well, but one of my favorite things that I'm seeing so far offensively from Green Bay is just a lot more of the Matt LaFleur stuff. Motions, screens, jet reverses, sweeps, play actions, bootlegs, the quarterback's getting moving. They're running really effective screens to all layers of the field, outside of wide receiver, tight ends, running backs. Like we're just seeing a little bit more of a cohesive offense. Some of the gadget stuff that Matt's used in the past, some of the illusion of complexity stuff, I'm all for it. I think this is looking a lot more already like a Matt LaFleur offense than it did at the end of last year, where it just felt a little bit disjointed. We are not seeing anything like that so far. The miscellaneous plays that were really fun. Malik Willis had a keeper on a read option. And I believe it was Malik Heath on the outside, but Chris Brooks was the lead blocker. Brooks came up with a huge block and was able to spring Malik Willis for a pretty significant gain. So that was a fun play from Chris Brooks. Will Shepard in the 2-minute drill with Sean Clifford at quarterback. He was matched up one-on-one with 7th-round pick Micah Robinson. And I'm watching this. It's funny because I was watching right along the sideline. It was right where I was. And I'm watching as Micah Robinson, like I'm literally like watching as Micah Robinson, and you know, the wide receiver in this situation does a little comeback route. And I'm like almost seeing this through Micah Robinson's eyes. I'm like, oh, he's going to have a chance to jump this. And he saw the exact same thing. I had the same vision that he kind of had to the quarterback. And as he goes, you know, I think it's maybe a little bit of a pump from Sean Clifford as he goes to make that jump, just the exact same thing I was seeing. Man, they spun out of it, and it was about to be probably a huge touchdown play, and then really a heady and heads up play from Micah Robinson to just grab a hold of him and not give him that easy completion, because it's a touchdown at that point. You're giving up a touchdown. There's nobody back. He made the wise business decision to take him down, make sure that there was not going to be that completion, and live to see another down. So that's a big play there from Will Shepard against Micah Robinson. You had a play where Tucker Kraft got the ball over the middle. And, you know, you have this situation in camp where it's kind of like two-hand touch, like we talked about yesterday. So Kraft is done. He's marked down. But after the play, players are still trying to bop the ball out. This is a one in real game where I think Kraft probably would have been able to stay on his feet long enough for this actually to happen. But Javon Bullard came in, popped the ball out, and it was recovered by the defense. So huge play there for the defense and Javon Bullard. And Tucker Kraft, of course, is going to have to stay and hang on to that football moving forward so that those sort of things do not show up on tape. You had the situation that I mentioned earlier with Dontavian Wicks going for the ball, Hobbs being a little bit too aggressive. As mentioned, he did get a little bit of a talking to, it seemed like, from Matt LaFleur, of just toning things down. It's a tough thing to do. He's a super intense guy. He wants to compete at everything. He wants to knock that ball loose. This is one that he probably just needed to take care of his wide receiver and teammate a little bit better than what he did. Josh Jacobs, the unbelievable leadership traits of Josh Jacobs. It's absolutely remarkable just how they have basically replaced a leader in the locker room with Aaron Jones and then got another guy coming in the locker room that I think might even be a little bit better. You know, Josh Jacobs will tell you how it is, but he's also going to be the first guy to have his arm around you when you need something as well. There's a situation like that at practice. I just overwhelmed by the positivity, energy, focus, intensity that Josh Jacobs brings to this team. And I think, again, not only his contributions on the field are really important, but off the field locker room stuff as well. He, again, is an absolute stud. Jonathan Baldwin made his first big play of training camp. You had a situation where I think it was Sean Clifford at quarterback, but quarterback threw down the middle of the field. Jonathan Baldwin, who is a safety, by the way, he's still listed at corner on the Packers roster. He is a safety. He's been individual drills at safety, team drills at safety, and mini camps, OTAs, and now training camp as well. So I think it's safe to say he's a safety. Basically, everyone expected him to be a safety coming out of college as well. But he was at safety, ranged down, made a great play on the ball, batted it away. And that was, again, the most impressive play that we've seen from Jonathan Baldwin so far. And then we did have a couple dropped interceptions, including one from Zane Anderson. The defense and the defensive backfield was swarming around. Had they hung on to a couple balls, it could have even been a much more epic afternoon, I guess morning and afternoon for that Packers defense. Let's get into the two-minute drills. I talked a little bit about these already. Carrington Valentine in the very first two-minute drill had that interception that we talked about on the, and that was with the twos, by the way. Then the ones came on, did the two-minute drill, and that ended with that LVN coverage sack on third down, which forced the Packers offense to have to punt. It's not a real punt, but you get my point. And then the third drive was Sean Clifford drove the team down for a field goal. I thought that was a really impressive drive. The big play in that drive was, in fact, that double move by Will Shepard that got the Micah Robinson pass interference penalty. That was, I think, like 26 yards on the play, and they were able to get in field goal range from there. So nice job by Sean Clifford. And then the number one offense got one more shot. I don't know if that was scripted or they were just kind of sick of, you know, basically losing and wanted that opportunity. I don't know. I'm not sure why they did that. It's not something that's common, but they paid it off. They did get a very generous spot on third down, which if they didn't pick it up, Matt LaFleur in a real game situation would, I think, had a really difficult, you know, fourth down decision. Maybe here he just goes for it, but that could have resulted in a punt, but they did not mark it correctly. They gave the first down to Tucker Kraft and they gave him out of bounds. The offense paid off that gift a little bit with that huge touchdown pass to Dontavian Wicks to end that particular drive and actually give the offense a rare win so far to start training camp. So those were your 4 2-minute drills. Again, Valentine pick, LVN sack, Clifford drives down for a field goal. And then the fourth one was the touchdown to Wicks. There was that miss to Dobbs right before that touchdown to Wicks. But again, what better way to atone for a missed deep ball to one player than by hitting a touchdown on the very next play on a 50-yard completion. After practice was, of course, the Packers shareholder meetings, the official handing over of the reins from Mark Murphy to Ed Policy. Congratulations to Mark Murphy on a hell of a career and job well done in Green Bay, including a draft that was hosted in Green Bay and a Super Bowl that returned to the rightful owners, the Green Bay Packers. The noteworthy thing that I took away from Mark Murphy during the course of his speech and just kind of everything that was going on is he said he anticipates many Packers games being played in Germany, Ireland, and or the UK over the next 5 to 10 years. Many games being played overseas in either, again, Germany, Ireland, and or the UK over the next 5 to 10 years. That's an interesting statement. So expect some international travel for Green Bay coming up over the course of the next decade or so. All right, that is going to do it for me today. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, Dave McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gestford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkel, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Griffin Blee. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.